Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. Today on the program, I'm going to share with you some insights from the journey. Carrie and I took a trip to Boise, Idaho, and today is the day we're returning back to Spokane Valley, back home. And along the way, God brought me in contact with a number of people, really had some powerful conversations, and I want to share with you the fruits of them as an encouragement to you as you walk your life of faith today. Lots to cover. Back in a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in eastern Washington and northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in Jesus' name, and I thank you, Lord, for the grace of guidance. Lord, for you opening doors to have conversations, Lord, that are a blessing. Lord, that glorify you and give us an opportunity, Lord, to be useful to you. And so, Jesus, I ask you to bless this program today, that as I share, the folks who are listening, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that each of them would be blessed by what they hear and encouraged. Lord, I just pray that they would sense in their own way that you are talking to them and you intend to talk to others through them. Lord, may you surprise us, each of us and all of us, in the ways that you minister to us wisdom and insight. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. I'm going to share with you probably 6 different conversations that I had yesterday. That's right. All in one day. And it began with, believe it or not, a podcast I was listening to by accident. I did not intend to listen to it. And we're going to gain some insight from Danica Patrick, I think that's her name. She was a woman's race car driver, of all things. Okay. And then I'm going to walk you through my day and share with you conversations that I had with a couple of guys that are part of Salt and Light Catholic Radio based in Boise, Idaho. And I should tell Ron Belter to kind of put his hands over his ears when I share about this, because I don't want him to get a big head. But you're going to gain an insight from Danica Patrick about Ron Belter and about founders of Catholic radio networks. Just you wait. I'm also going to have a chance to share about a host, a guy who has hosted Catholic radio programs for years, a guy kind of like me. He has an hour-long morning program. And I'm going to share with you some insights that I gained from my conversation with him. And in addition to that, I had an early morning coffee meetup, breakfast with a fellow who works for the Augustine Institute, and just talking with him about some of the amazing things that are happening there, and also just about discerning how do you provide for your family as a layperson in ministry. And then as the day went on, had a chance to go to a monastery, yes, a place called Our Lady of Ephesus. And it is a monastery of some Dominican priests that live in a, not quite a monastic life, but it's very much a community life that has the qualities of a contemplative community. And I went to a talk on a theme that I've never heard before in a class that had as its audience lay people. I'll tell you the theme, because if you're going to wonder what was that class on, it was on metaphysics. What in the world is that? Profound insights I gained in the way that this priest, very a priest, probably 70 years old anyways, but a brilliant, brilliant mind sharing some beautiful content that I'm going to share with you. That's part of this idea of stewardship, is handing on to others the fruits of what I have received. And then last conversation happened after that talk with a couple that we had known from the Oaks, a couple that had moved down to Boise, and I'd helped them. I shared that with you guys as their real estate agent, helping them sell the house and then helping them down here buy a house. We went out for dinner after that lecture that we went to, or that class that we went to, and some neat conversations and insights about discerning and taking action regarding fulfilling the mission that you have as parents, and how community plays a part, how a school community plays a part. And again, the gift of classical education, using that as a theme to help you understand the distinction, not the separation, but the distinction between the call to make disciples and the call to evangelize. Both a part of raising our kids, both ought to be part of how we form and educate our kids through whatever schooling form we choose. But really, really neat conversation happened. And it had to do with things like culture and societal influences and things of that sort. So those are the conversations. And I pass them on to you as a means of allowing you to sort of walk with me day to day and see, how's the Lord part of your life? Oh, sorry. There was one other conversation where I went and visited the Sotheby's office here in Boise and had a chance to help a woman there discover that she is a gift and that she has gifts to bring, specifically as a realtor. So I'm excited to share that story with you as well. Okay. That is a lot of conversations, but I'm excited because hopefully it's going to bring encouragement and maybe a bit of inspiration to your life today. Okay, start at the beginning. So I was up early, jumped in the car, and I was driving towards the coffee shop to meet up with this fellow who works for the Augustine Institute. And what happens? Well, my phone is now connected by Bluetooth to Carrie's car, which is the car that we drove down here. And despite me, when I got in the car, the phone connected into the radio system, and it started to play through the speakers the podcast that I started to listen to briefly the night before. It just turned on. And it was this interview with this, I don't know if she was, I think she might have been the first woman NASCAR race car driver. And again, I'm pretty sure her name is Danica Patrick. And she was sharing, and at first she wasn't very profound, right? She was kind of flat as far as I could tell. And it was a Tucker Carlson's podcast. Well, she ended up saying something. Actually, she said two things, but the one was relevant to the point that I'm going to get to. So I'll start with the second one. And the second point she said, and I also found this, again, it was a surprising, like, okay, God, you can bring me insights through surprising doors. It had to do with provision. Tucker Carlson said, boy, you have a lot of things going on in your life, but I didn't hear you talk about pursuing any of these for the sake of money. And she said, well, I'm paraphrasing now. She said, well, I'm not. But I have this basic conviction that I learned that if you bring to bear the things that you're really good at, if you have sufficient gifting and expertise and you put those into practice, money will follow. So you don't chase after money and then somehow put your gifts at the service of that. Rather, find out what you're passionate about and what you've been able to develop giftings and skills at, put those into service, and lo and behold, money will follow. And honestly, I didn't expect her to have that kind of sort of philosophical insight. And in some ways, she was a surprising, like, angel or messenger to me, that It was in a certain sense sent by Father Walter Chizik in his book, He Leadeth Me, and how we're called to abandon ourselves to divine providence. And as we seek to do God's will by recognizing the giftings that God has given to us and attempting to put those into play in the calls and duties that God has in our state in life, and God will provide. And in a certain sense, she was a witness to that, and she was confirming that idea on this podcast. What a surprise. Well, the other thing that she said is, and this is relevant to Catholic radio, and again, tell Ron Belter to put his hands over his ears. She said this. She said that when he was asked about, when she was asked by Tucker Carlson about spirituality and living out a faith, she said that she learned a long time ago that what was important wasn't just an awareness around things that are spiritual, but about embodiment. She said, my call or my challenge or my, I saw it as my task, not just to gain an awareness about the spiritual realm, that's what he had asked her about, but rather it was important to seek to embody that in how you live your life. And if it only remains at awareness, are you really aware of the truth, the spiritual insight, this dimension of your life that that is being considered? That awareness that doesn't reach embodiment isn't really a full awareness. Now, to be honest, she didn't just say all of that. She actually was much more succinct, but I was able to break that open and apply that to what I've shared with you, I think pretty regularly, which is the insight of John Paul II, that the truth of God that is revealed by Christ is inserted into consciousness. It gets deeply inserted into the core of our hearts, and there it fosters an awareness, a way of seeing. But that way of seeing is going to give rise to, it'll overflow into our way of relating to, our attitude is his word, the way we relate to the things and situations and parts of our lives. And then that will manifest itself in our actions, or in the words of Danica Patrick, awareness leads to embodiment, embodiment in action. And so where does this, how does this connect to Catholic radio? Well, over the course of yesterday, I got to have two conversations with the founder of Salt and Light Catholic Radio and one of their program manager and the fellow who does the live morning program. And what was so striking to me was the concept of laborers in the vineyard. That the Lord says that the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray to the harvest master that he would raise up laborers to enter the harvest. And that's what came to mind as I asked the founder of Salt and Light Catholic Radio to tell the story of how did this radio station, which is now a network of stations, how did it emerge in 2009? And the answer is, brothers and sisters, Sacred Heart Radio. He was listening to Sacred Heart Radio because he would go to Seattle, and this was in 2007. And it was really kind of neat because he was like, yeah, that's when I first heard your voice, was on Sacred Heart Radio. And the story he told about being so moved and inspired by the programming he heard on Sacred Heart Radio that he said, I have to take this back to Boise. I've got to take it back to our area. And it took him 2 years before he was able to purchase their first station in Boise and begin to follow the path and trail that Ron Belter had really formed him in, introduced him to, and modeled for him in Seattle on Sacred Heart Radio. He talked about meeting with Ron in his house and seeing their operation and how things were going. And he described it as laboring in the vineyard. And it was for me, it was a warm reminder of the inspiring first contact I had with Ron Belter and Bob Gunderson, Pam Gunderson's Bob, back in 2001, where they had launched Sacred Heart Radio. They came up to me. It was at the conference where Scott Hahn was speaking and started to talk to me about Sacred Heart Radio and their hopes and plans and dreams for Sacred Heart Radio. And it was really neat to see these guys laboring in the vineyard, how they had started with purchasing some time on what would become Sacred Heart Radio, KBLE Seattle, the Rosary, and then Catholic Answers. And then from there to buy the station through God's grace and the generosity of donors to be able to found Sacred Heart Radio. And it was really powerful to hear him tell a similar story, but let's say 9 years behind. Well, I'm up against time. More on this in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. I'm sharing with you six conversations and how each of them were for me a source of insight, and this insight that can be a source of encouragement and inspiration for living well our call to be salt, light, and leaven in the world. I use that intentionally because I was just talking about my conversation with Keith, the founder and one of the founding members of the board of Salt and Light Catholic Radio that is based in Boise, but has grown to a number of stations covering much of southern Idaho. And when he talked about the difference that Catholic radio has made in the Diocese of Boise, it just again resonated so deeply with the stories that Ron and I have shared over, well, my 20 years, now 21 years since I've been having programming air on Sacred Heart Radio, and then going on the 24th year now that Sacred Heart Radio has been on the air. One of the big shared points of resonance has been really and clearly been this sense of a source of formation and encouragement to live the Catholic faith among the faithful. He had story after story of how people benefited from his first mention was the apologetic programs, Catholic Answers, and the live programming during the noonday hour, and now Call to Communion and programming like that, and referencing the prayer and devotion, the Mass and the Divine Mercy Chaplet and the Rosary. But he also mentioned the way that the bishops have been blessed by and have advanced their own mission, their own shepherding of their people through Catholic radio. And I just had to just step right in and say, you know, when Archbishop Brunette, he went all in and said, you know, let's go to Sacred Heart Radio. And I had the privilege of being his co-host on the Archbishop's Hour. And all these times when, again, it was Bob Gunderson who was there in this studio that the Archdiocese built out right there at the chancery so the archbishop could come rolling in and do live programming and take people's questions live on the air. And one of the things he would say almost every time was, this is my biggest pulpit. This is the largest pulpit I have as the archbishop. It wasn't the newspaper. It wasn't any online platform. It wasn't even the cathedral pulpit of giving a homily in the Ambo. It was being on the radio. He said that it would happen really almost without exception. He would be going to a church to do a confirmation or to give a talk or for a pastoral visit. And people would routinely and regularly say, Archbishop, I heard you on Sacred Heart Radio. Archbishop, what you said at Sacred Heart Radio. And he was so moved by that to realize that he could touch so many people that would never be able to get to him and wouldn't maybe be reading his column in the archdiocesan newspaper, but they heard him on the radio. And so the laboring in the vineyard for the sake of the faith today, that is a gift worth supporting. That is a gift that is worth helping advance. Each of us is called in our own way to the work of making disciples and evangelizing. And that work is not going to be performed in the same way. We're not all equipped. We don't all have opportunities. We don't all have platforms to do that. Well, if you're hearing my voice today, you understand the blessing and benefit of having a Catholic radio station or a network of stations like Sacred Heart Radio, like Salt and Light. And these stations are listener-supported, not-for-profit ministries. And so if you're blessed by just even reminiscing and hearing a confirmation from an entirely other network of stations, the founder of that network, that, you know what? People are so blessed and encouraged and inspired and transformed to live their Catholic faith through the programming that is fed to them day in and day out on Catholic radio. Let them know. Let Ron Belter know. You know, call the radio station, go online, contact the station, and of course, make a promise of prayer. Say a prayer for them today. If you can't reach out and contact them, then, you know, say a prayer for them today. But if you can, drop them a note or leave them a voicemail, right? You know their phone number. If you ever listen during the pledge drives, right? You can look it up, but it's 800-929-1050. Give them a call. And just say, you know, I just want to give an encouragement. Thank you, Ron, for laboring in the vineyard. Thank you, staff at Sacred Heart Radio, for laboring in the vineyard. Because it is a day-to-day labor to be providing the technical, mechanical, operational, administrative foundation so that the programming that you hear day-to-day is happening. And it is a blessing. And for many, frankly, it's a voice in the wilderness. So, all right, that's my second conversation. I have several more to share with you today on the program. My goal in doing this is to encourage you to live your faith today and realize that you too are called to be a laborer in the vineyard. And maybe there's someone in your life that was a laborer in the vineyard, and maybe you didn't really express gratitude or appreciate the gift that they were. So maybe in addition to saying a prayer for Ron Belter, say a prayer for that priest, say a prayer for that Sunday school teacher, say a prayer for that neighbor, or maybe it's a friend or a parent that you were had the opportunity to be blessed by. You were formed in the faith. You were encouraged in the faith. Say a prayer for them. Say a prayer for them. I'm praying today for a dear friend of mine named Michael Shannon. And there's another reason why, and I'm going to ask you to say a prayer for him, a prayer for the repose of his soul. This is one of those poignant moments that is a bit of a wake-up call in the life of someone who's my age. Michael was a high school classmate of mine, and he died peacefully in his sleep last week. And actually at the very beginning of this week. And I found out through Facebook, and it was a shocker. It was really a shocker to me that someone who had just turned 60, and he was active on the Facebook page for our high school group, that all of a sudden there was a post from him a couple of days ago, and then all of a sudden a message comes up a couple of days later saying, "Everyone, I've got some terrible news. I just found out that a classmate, Mike Shannon, died." And I bring that up not just because, oh, someone my age or in my high school class died, but it was a fateful night during my junior year of high school, driving down Middlesex Turnpike near my house with my best friend in the world, Mark DeVellis. He's the Discalced Carmelite priest. And we were driving down the road, and Mike was walking in the evening. It was dark out and it was raining. And he was walking along the side of the road. And he would do that. He's a bit of a quirky fellow in terms of his own sort of approach to life. And in terms of like missing social cues and that sort of thing. And we just saw him walking. And we obviously knew him from school and had some classes with him. And it was like, you know what? He's getting wet. Let's pick him up. And we picked him up. We'd never done that before. And never really like hung out with him or gone out with him outside of high school. And all of a sudden, he enters our car and he just starts talking away. Like it's the most normal thing in the world that we picked him up and hang out with him that night and drive him home. And he became part of our group. And what was really neat was as I entered that stage in my life, a couple years later, our friendship with him had grown, and we had gone to the same college together, Mark and me and him and a couple of other guys from our high school class. And when I had this awakening of faith, it also impacted him. And his faith also became more active and engaged, so much so that at one point he also came to the seminary for one of these discernment weekends to get a sense of, is he called to be a priest? And that wasn't his call. And so he finished college and worked as an analytical chemist throughout his life. He never got married, but was a man of thoughtful, deep faith. And when we did have a chance to see each other again, and it wasn't much after, let's say, after I left the Boston area to go study in DC, we would only see each other in happenstance situations, maybe during a visit to Boston or sadly during moments like funerals. And so the last two times I had significant conversations with him was at my mom's wake and funeral, and then at my dad's, at a couple of events that my dad's wake, and then at an event that I did at St. Malachy's at our parish, on meditation that my dad wanted us to do when he came. And it was really beautiful, the things that we had a chance to share about in terms of living a life of faith, in terms of trusting in the Lord, in terms of him sharing with me and having a chance to express sort of gratitude to each other for friendship. And I'm grateful to God for him. You know, Mike had a chance to speak into my life at a number of points that were really important to me when I discerned entering the seminary, when I was living and as a seminarian, then when I left the seminary, in some really key moments, he was an important voice that God brought to my life, all because of a rainy day during a junior year in our high school class. My friend Mark and I picked him up, and a friendship began. And it endured. And again, even just last September when he came to my dad's wake, it was a meaningful look each other in the eyes connection and a meaningful conversation. And I'm grateful to God for the gift of Mike Shannon. And I've been praying for the repose of his soul, and I invite you to do the same. Please pray for Mike. Pray for his family members that are mourning the surprise loss of him to view, but their confidence that he was a man of active Catholic faith and involvement in his parish, and that the confidence that he has entered his eternal reward, even as we pray for him to experience any freedom from any purification that would be part of his own journey towards heaven and purgatory, not to take for granted that he's in heaven, but to pray for him for a swift release from purgatory. So again, I share that with you just to say, as today, I invite you to be grateful to God for the gift of those that have labored for you in the vineyard of faith, those with whom you've labored in the vineyard of growing in your faith, and those whom you've had a chance to impact by the sharing of your faith. Pray for them today. Speak a word of encouragement to them today. You just have no idea the difference that you can make. All right, let's jump to another conversation. And I want to get to one that's a little bit more light. And I put a smile on my face, and I hope it does it to you as well. And I hope it's also an encouragement to you to realize that you can be a light in people's lives in situations that you wouldn't normally think. So during the day yesterday, I had a chance to go to the office of the Sotheby's International Realty Brokerage. So that's the brokerage that I'm connected to as a real estate agent. And I'm like, well, hey, I'm down in Boise. Why don't I stop in, say hello, and make some connections, right? Real estate is so much about making good relationships. So I thought, let me make some good relationships with some agents that are here. And I had called ahead, and the broker who's in charge of the offices that are here, he's like, hey, I'm at the other office, but go to that one. They're expecting you. And so I went there, and sure enough, there were several agents that were there, and they welcomed me. And there was the marketing director there, and started to have a really neat conversation. Well, in the midst of all of that, one of the agents started to talk a bit, and I asked her, I said, so what makes you so passionate about getting involved in real estate? How did you get here? She started telling the story about her work in helping in the assisted living sphere, and how she actually managed an assisted living facility and would help families to transition family members who needed a greater sense of care than they could be provided for in home, to get them into this assisted living facility where they could be safe. And it was her job to help be this bridge and help this families to navigate that really challenging path and situation, to help them to move a loved one from a situation of being at home to a whole new place that they would have to learn to call home. So she shared all of that. And then I said, so what's your superpower? What's your special value proposition? What makes you really distinct in a valuable way to the people you're serving as a real estate agent? And you know the answer she gave? I'm going to tell you it in a minute because I'm out of time right now. Welcome back to the program. All right, so here I am, and I'm in this Sotheby's International Realty office. It's a beautiful office. I'm there with three agents and a marketing director, and this woman is telling me about how she got into real estate just a couple of years ago, and yet she loves serving people, and she talked about her background in helping families navigate the challenge of moving a loved one from home into what would in effect be their new home, but in a place where they just would require more assistance. And it was her job to help these families really process and discern and navigate that challenging reality. So I said to her, I said, so what's the special gift you bring to being a real estate agent? What makes you different in a valuable way? She said, well, you know, I really love to provide service and I'm very attentive. I said, no, that's not it. And everybody just stopped and looked at me. I said, no, that's not it. No, try it again. What makes you different in a valuable way to the people that you'd be serving? Well, I I'm really good. I don't like I pay attention to the details, and the brokerage I work for is really strong. I said, that's not it. That is not your value proposition. And she's just looking at me, and I said, let me do it. And so I said to someone, "Hi, I'm Mary," and you're asking me, well, why would you want to work with me as a real estate agent if you're interviewing some people? And he said, "Well, I help assist people to get to a new home. I help people navigate challenging circumstances that they're in to be able to find a way to a new home." And all I did was is I took her experience that has been developed and matured over decades in that environment and helped her realize and see that those very gifts were the gifts that she could bring to bear in a way that would make a difference, that would really set her apart and basically say, look, you should have tremendous confidence because you have all of these developed expertises that have come from assisted living. And so it's like, well, what makes me different? Well, for the last 20 years, I've helped families move. Families that were in difficult circumstances and they've had to discern a way to navigate a way to leave a home and to find a new place to call home. I help people move. And boom, it was like jaw-dropping, people looking, and there was a yes. That's what I do. And it was so beautiful because literally what happened was she felt named. She felt known. She felt that the gift that she had nurtured and developed, actually, no, let me say that again. The gift that she was, or the gift that she is as a person, and the gifts that she's developed in her career, those are the things that she brings to bear in her work as a real estate agent. And there was such a beautiful confirmation of that. And then she started to say it. She's like, I can't believe this is happening. She's like, this is a gift from God. This is like God sent you. This isn't a real estate agent. This isn't a brokerage. She's like, I can't believe this is happening. This is not by chance. God set this up. And she doesn't know about me and faith and God and church and all this. She was like, God set this up. And I just thought that was so beautiful and powerful that when she was able to hear this truth about her identity and her mission or her purpose, she was able to say, yeah, that's my gift. That's how I'm a gift. Yes, that's it. And it was coming from her. It was coming out of her. And it was a beautiful moment because the thing that happened among the other two agents that were there is that they were not at all like feeling competitive or feeling like that this was somehow a threatening thing. No, they were celebrating. They were rejoicing. They were truly like grateful that, wow, look at this woman is alive in a new way. What a beautiful life-giving thing. And I rejoiced in it. I celebrated in it. It was not what I was thinking was going to happen when I went in there to meet with these agents. I was just saying, hey, I'm from up in Spokane to Coeur d'Alene corridor, and I serve a lot of folks up there. I'm down here visiting. I'm with my wife. We're doing some life planning and discernment and visiting some friends. And I just thought I'd stop by and say hi. And they're like, wow, no, you were sent here. So it's just really beautiful. Now, why is this important? Two reasons. First reason it's important is that this is your day. This is your day too. I'm not saying you're going to do exactly what I did, But I'm saying you can accomplish what I accomplished. And even more, even better, even more powerfully than I did. Because I used words. It took language. It took the permission to engage in a conversation that wasn't an ordinary conversation. But let me ask you, how many people today are you going to encounter that are strangers, like these people were strangers to me, where you will have the opportunity to convey to them, you're a gift. You, the person I'm looking at, you, the person I'm interacting with, you're a gift. You're a gift because you've come from God. God's created you, placed you here, and placed you in my path. You have been placed in my path today. And I want you to know that I see you as a gift and I relate to you as a gift. And I want my actions to convey to you that I'm grateful to God that He created you. And that can be as easy as looking someone in the eyes and calling someone by their name. Looking them in their eyes and calling them by their name. Later on, last night, we went out to eat after this talk. And that's going to be the second meaning of this gift message. Came from the talk that I went to last night on metaphysics. That's right. This Dominican priest, you're going to hear about it in a little bit. Buckle up. It was amazing. But afterwards, we went out to dinner with this couple that had just moved here. They came to the talk with us. And what's the first thing that happens when you get to a restaurant, you sit down, you get shown to the table. Then the waitress comes over and will hand out the menus and will greet you and will say, can I get you anything? I make it my practice, just a simple thing to do when they first come. First thing to say, hi, what's your name? And just ask them their name. Her name was Lauren. And so every time she came to the table, I'd call her by name. I'd look her in the eyes. Thank you, Lauren. Things are great. Yes, Lauren, I'd love some more water. No, Lauren, everything's fine. Hey, Lauren, thank you so much. This food is amazing. And what happened was she ended up opening up to us. Before she even took a drink order, she was talking to us about her life and where she had lived here and where she had grown up in Moscow, in a little bit central Idaho, and where her family was and what her thoughts were about moving. And she was like smiling and sharing with us like important parts of her life about her life plan to be moving. And that was just so beautiful. And why was that? We never said to her out loud, you're a gift. You don't realize you're a gift. Do you realize what you're doing as a waitress, the service you're offering us and the gift that it is? No, we didn't say any of that in our words, but we said it in our eyes, in looking her in the eyes, and not just thinking, you're here to serve us. And why did you take so long? It's so important to realize that you, my brothers and sisters, have and are given every day an opportunity to be a herald, to labor in that vineyard, and to bring good news, to bring light into people's lives. Light that people just don't have clue that when you interact with me, I want you to come to know how Jesus Christ is looking at you, how He sees you, and how He intends for you to realize in a new way, at a new depth, at a new level, to have it wash over you, soak into you, and sink into you, that you're a gift. And you've been given many gifts. And we're going to be the beneficiary of those gifts and how you serve us, and we're going to express our gratitude for that. That's what you have the opportunity anytime you go sit down in a restaurant. But that's also in really, truly every interaction in a store, at the supermarket, when you're mixing and chatting with people at an event. All of those places are chances for you to be a herald of the gift. back in a minute with more of the program. Welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran, and I'm sharing with you six conversations about that all happened yesterday. And they're having to do with Carrie and me being in Boise and doing some life planning and financial planning and sort of discerning like the next stage that our kids are at in their lives. And what do we do to like plan well for that? And what was really neat was I had a chance to connect again with someone that I met at the men's conference. He was representing the Augustine Institute. And we got together. I knew that he was down here, and I was like, "Well, let me make a contact and just see how things are going, and catch up with him." And the conversation ended up being all about how do I and this was him asking me. I said, he was like, "Hey, how can I help you? What do you want to, you know, what are you here for?" So I was just asking about the Catholic community near. I said, "What about you? What's going on?" And it just so happened. Later that day, he was having the final interview for a new position that he might take in his life, a new career path and a new career move. I said, "Well, do you mind if I ask you some questions and kind of coach you through this a bit?" He said, "Absolutely." So we took about an hour, and I just was coaching him on some fundamental questions about, well, do you know what it's like to work for the church in terms of a salary? Where you get in is really where you're going to stay, and there'll be slow increments of increase. And what's that going to mean as your kids get older in terms of your budget? Your budget's going to increase faster than your expenses are going to increase faster than your income. And so what's a plan for that? We started talking that through and talking through some strategies around negotiating salary and bonuses and things like this. And what does that mean for career path? And what was so neat was, he had, in the midst of his interview process and discernment about whether or not to even consider taking the job, spoken with a number of people. But now here he was about to have his final interview. And lo and behold, we end up having a coffee early that morning, a few hours before his interview. And it was a beautiful instance for him of God providing him with insight and clarity and points of reflection that he would be able to ponder more fully before he entered the interview and before he made a decision about this position. And so, again, it was what a neat chance that God gave me yesterday to be able to be of service to someone using my background, the things that God has sort of forged in me and the path that I've walked, to be able to hand that on to him, to be a gift to him, so that he could make a good decision regarding how God was calling him to care for his family. I share that again with you because, please, brothers and sisters, know this. The conversations, the connections, the meetings that you have every day, they might have more at stake in them than you realize. There might be more happening at work in them than you thought on the way in. Out of obedience, you fulfill the duties of your state in life, the things that are happening in your day, and then watch what God will do. Open yourself to be surprised by what God will do in giving you a chance to hand on to others the blessings that God has handed on to you. So don't doubt this. I'm going to pray for you at the end of the program. I want to make sure I pray such that you will have that alertness to what God might be asking of you. Okay. Went to a talk last night. In all my years, I started going to talks in churches in the mid-1980s, late by 1984, 83. Yeah, 83. I was going to talks pretty regularly in the church. I've never in my life gone to a talk that wasn't like a college class. It was just a talk on the theme of that branch of philosophy that is called metaphysics. That is that which is beyond the physical. It's a course on the a class on the philosophy of being, the philosophy of existence, created being by that which is uncreated, the uncreated being God. And I got to tell you, I came in, Kerry was there, and Kerry had texted our friends. They were a little bit late coming to the class. She's like, I'm lost. Tom's loving it. He was amazing. He had to be 75 years old, this priest, giving this just flow of wisdom about metaphysics. And the theme that he was breaking open was how, with our intelligence as created by God, our intelligence is made to come into contact with the world that God has created. But in coming in contact with the world that God has created, underlying, underneath, undergirding that experience of anything that God has created is this implicit contact with the one he calls the first being good, or God. And he says our intelligence can come into contact with the reality of the first being, but the reality of that first being, being good, is something that only happens when we have a relationship with one of the beings that God has created. And so there is a dimension or a property of goodness that is associated with everything that God has created. Why? God is all good, and God creates things, and he names them good. So anything that you see in the world around you, any item, any reality that is, that physical reality that is around you, God has created. And as such, if you can come into contact with it, you'll be able to be drawn towards it. He talked about goodness as the capacity that something has to be attractive to us. The goodness of something, its preciousness, its uniqueness. And if it's a person, it's a dignity, beckons to us. It calls out to be recognized by us. And that beckoning call asks of us to move towards it, to extend ourselves, to pour ourselves out towards it, which is an act of love. The goodness of that which is in front of me, of the one who is in front of me, calls forth from us an act of acknowledgement and an act of respect or reverence, and it places a claim on us. And so this priest, this Father Philippe, was reflecting on this and handling these questions, which frankly some were like way off target, but he was so gracious in helping take these answers and just bring them back around. And it was a delight. It was really a beautiful, delightful thing. The point I want to draw out is this. He said, human beings are made by God in such a way and given an intelligence by which we have the capacity to see, that is, to come into conscious contact with, cognitive contact with, intelligible contact with the realities that are around us, and especially the people that are around us. And he said that the goodness that is associated with each individual person we meet is distinct to that individual. He said, by analogy, there is a commonality between the goodness of one human being and the goodness of another, but there's a distinct goodness with each human being that we meet. And that's our task. What he was saying in philosophical language, in the language of metaphysics, is what John Paul said. And it was what I just shared earlier in the program. You're a gift. You are a gift. You are unique. You're precious. You're one of a kind. You have a dignity because God has created you. And through you, God shines forth in this world. And if I can come to see that about you, everything changes. I will relate to you differently, and I'll behave accordingly. I will not use you. I'll treat you as a person. So that was that conversation. It was really me listening. Well, there's a lot I've covered today. God bless you. Join me tomorrow for more Sound Insight.